Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletau from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining me today is Amber Mack. Amber is a TV radio host, an Internet of Things expert, and she'll be one of the keynote presenters at the 2018 Compliance and Ethics Institute. She'll be speaking on October 23rd on the topic of artificial intelligence, a day in your life in compliance and ethics. Amber, first of all, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about artificial intelligence. Like a lot of things in technology that everyone's talking about, not everyone necessarily knows what it is exactly we are talking about. So could you give a good practical definition of what artificial intelligence is?
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a broad term that I think a lot of people are confused by it because it does have so many different definitions. But mainly you can think about artificial intelligence essentially as teaching machines or computers how to learn on their own. So you may hear about subsets of artificial intelligence in terms such as deep learning and machine learning. But the gist of it is that we're teaching these machines, once they have enough data, to be able to learn and process information on their own and come to their own conclusions.
So how are businesses already using AI?
That's a great question, and it really depends on the industry. If we look at an industry such as financial services, we'll notice that they're using AI in a few different ways. As one example, they may use artificial intelligence tools in the customer service space to actually have chatbots and to enable their customers to more easily and readily get information. Perhaps when it comes to the accounting side of their businesses, they could be using AI tools to detect fraud. So there are really different ways that organizations are starting to use AI tools. And I think what we're seeing right now is that there will be cases when people don't even realize that that technology is in some of the tools that they're using today.
Interesting. So to my understanding, for AI to work, it depends on having access to a lot of data to be able to see how people make a lot of decisions or bought things or what they look for. Given the increasing protections of personal data, that has to be a significant risk area for organizations. What do companies need to think about how to manage that privacy risk?
I think what companies are going to have to do is not just think about the privacy in terms of the information that they are collecting, but they will also have to think about the ethical side as far as what they're doing with that information. And so it brings about this entire new question as far as what to do in this age of AI. Do you need to have someone who is managing privacy? Do you need to have someone who's overseeing the ethical side of what you're doing with your data? And I think with both of those cases, the answer is actually yes. It may or may not be the same person, but the reality is that organizations need to think more about how they are actually using that data, and it has to be top of mind in terms of the collection and what they do with all of it.
And so if I can amplify that, I mean, some of my understanding of this, and you can obviously correct me if I'm wrong, is that some of the risk is, well, there's not too much risk if, for example, you're a retailer and you know that if people buy paint cans, the intelligence will say, well, let's show them information about paint brushes. But when you start collecting data on people and it starts suggesting, for example, that they may have a health condition, and you're going to start sending information to them based on the assumption that there's a health issue there, then there might be, that's when you start getting into ethical and other issues, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and another way you can think about it is on the health front, think about mental health as one category. So we know now that there are AI tools that are being used to detect if someone is potentially sharing language that may be associated with mental health issues across social media platforms, and they could detect if, in fact, a person had an issue and then contact them. At the end of the day, as you just said, I mean, there are so many implications of this data being collected and analyzed, and yet these machines need the data to be able to properly process it and determine any type of next steps or resolutions with that data in the first place. So there are a lot of issues that will arise because of that on the privacy front and on the ethical front as well, whether you're in healthcare, financial services, transportation. I mean, there are plenty of examples in all those industries.
Right. I guess on transportation, if you start knowing where people are going every day, you can start building quite the complex picture of them.
Absolutely. And I think what we're seeing with transportation right now is that the ethical issues in transportation extend beyond just where a person may be, but they extend to the point where if you have autonomous vehicles or self-driving cars and they have to make a split decision about whether they run into an 80-year-old person or an 8-year-old kid, I mean, again, the ethical part of this becomes a really big factor.
Yeah, very big factor. Okay, so now obviously not all data is created equal. Some will be helpful, other data not so much. How should people think about what data they want to collect?
That's a great question, and I think it's going to depend on the actual organization. So it may be that an organization starts small in terms of using some of these different AI tools to simply collect information within the organization, and they may try to use a tool to be able to do some really simple process and automate that process. At the end of the day, I think it really becomes about the value of what they are able to do with some of these AI tools, and what I mean by that is, so often we get excited about these shiny new tools, but we don't really think about the strategic side of how they may help us in the long run. And I think with artificial intelligence, what we're seeing is that a lot of people are excited about this technology and maybe need to take a step back and actually think about how they potentially would use this technology and if it's actually useful and if is it saving time? Is it helping to take the load off an individual in terms of their work? And in some cases, maybe it's replacing an individual altogether, and that, of course, has other implications as well.
It sounds, though, like whenever somebody takes an undertaking with AI, that they need to really start with the objective in mind, not just, hey, we can use this, but, okay, what is it we want to achieve?
That's exactly right. And once you have that objective in place, it's important to think about what type of outcome and you're looking for as far as leveraging some of that technology. And I think what the concern is right now is people are adopting this technology for the sake of having it because it's exciting. And a lot of people are talking about artificial intelligence and there's a real buzz today. But I think what we'll see more and more is people actually kind of hunker down and start to think more intelligently about those objectives, what they want to achieve, and are there tools out there that can help them achieve that are based and driven by artificial intelligence? And in many cases, the answer is absolutely yes. But I would encourage individuals not to necessarily rush into anything until they're actually sure that they are able to achieve what they set out to achieve in terms of the objectives in the first place.
Good caution. So finally, how do you see AI evolving over the next 5 to 10 years? I mean, especially how it might impact, you know, internal controls such as compliance and governance and ethics.
I think one of the really interesting things about artificial intelligence is, unlike other technological revolutions that we've seen, let's take the mobile revolution as one example. When we saw this rise of smartphones, you know, first we saw the iPhone, and then, you know, years later, every single person around you had some type of mobile device. The interesting thing about that trend is that we actually could see it happening. We could physically see the phones around us. What I think is really fascinating in terms of how AI is going to affect organizations of all types over the next 5 to 10 years is that we're not actually going to be able to really see it. It's the first type of technology where we can't physically see what's happening. You know, all of this is happening within computers. And I think in that case, what we're going to see is that there are some organizations that are able to forge ahead and reach the objectives that they have in place. But there's going to be a lot of organizations, whether it's in compliance and governance, that could get left behind because they just aren't adopting this technology at a pace and with the right objectives in mind. So I see a real disparity as far as people who are leading the way and those organizations who are going to get really left in the dust.
Interesting. And I imagine there also is going to be some issues over the fact that because you can't see it, does it start begging questions about do you disclose, have to disclose to people that they're not actually interacting with a human, but they're interacting with technology?
We've already seen that. I mean, if you think about some of the voice assistants that have risen to popularity over the past year or so, whether it's Amazon Alexa or Google Home, we're already seeing that these voice assistants are so believable as far as being able to have conversations in a human-like way that there was an example not that long ago where when it comes to Google Home, when they were calling to make an appointment at a restaurant, that it was determined that these voice assistants have to declare that they are not humans. They are, in fact, machines or speakers or whatever you want to call them, because they are just so good at what they do. So that also brings about another issue as far as disclosure and, you know, what happens when you're having a chat conversation with someone online or a voice conversation and you don't even recognize that's not a human and is in fact a machine. I mean, we are going into this territory much more quickly than any of us anticipate. If we look at customer service as one industry, by 2020, 85% of customer service interactions will be managed by bots. I mean, it's a fascinating number, and it's not that far off.
Wow, that's fascinating and interesting, terrifying and alluring all at the same time. So, anyway, well, thank you, Amber. I'm really intrigued and looking forward to your talk in October. Thanks to all of you for taking the time to join us today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA, saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.